today, guys, Luke chapter 19, verse 10. As I said, a very familiar story for most of us. Even as children, if we didn't go to church very much, chances are we heard the story of Zacchaeus. It's kind of one of the standard stories that seem to be taught in Sunday schools around the world. And today what I want to focus on is looking at a man who was seeking. Now, maybe you have talked with people before who have told you that they are on a quest or that they are seeking the truth. I know that when I was younger, I set out trying to seek whatever I was seeking. I ended up finding myself, which basically showed me how dark everything was. And that's what led me to the Lord. So it was good. Because oftentimes the quest to seek self shows us exactly how dark we are and how the world really is. And that's what uses us to come to the Lord. But guys, oftentimes in seeking ourselves, or rather seeking, we become seekers. And then there are those around us that we know that are also seekers. The key is who are we seeking and what are we seeking? And are we looking in the wrong place? You see, the problem with most who say they are seeking is, guys, they're seeking in the wrong place. They're seeking either among false religions or maybe spiritism, or as I did when I was younger, seeking self. You know the term, going to find myself. Listen, I am convinced. As a matter of fact, I know scripturally, the more we look within, the darker it is. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says there is none good, no, not one. And the Bible says that the only one that is good is the Lord. Jesus himself said that. And we saw that just recently. So no, it's not self we need to look for. It's not other things we need to look for. Guys, it's the one we need to look for. That is the one who came to look for us. And that is Jesus Christ, our Savior. Or at least the one who wants to be our Savior. And so really, I think that the question today for us is, are we seeking? And who are we seeking? Or what are we seeking? Might be even a better question. Today we see a man who indeed was seeking. And I want to say this, that if you're here today and maybe you are in that seeking mode, you find yourself empty. And the things that you're going to seek, you find to be unsatisfying. You see, Zacchaeus was in the same place. And the only one that will truly satisfy us, as most of you in here know, is the Lord himself. Notice what happens here as we get into the passage. Look at chapter 19 again, verse 1. It says, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Remember, he was on his final trip up to Jerusalem at this time. Going to his crucifixion. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Notice this, he was a chief tax collector. Guys, first of all, what was this about this chief tax collector that should catch our eye? Well, first of all, the chief tax collectors were very rich, and they were very hated. As a matter of fact, all tax collectors were very rich and very hated. Why? Here's why. Put yourself in their sandals. You see, back in that day, Rome had a certain amount of taxes that you had to pay. And so when you went to go pay those taxes, you knew what that amount was. You were taxed for whatever it might be, your home, the Roman roads, your goods, whatever it might be. You knew what the tax scale was, even as those of you that watch your taxes closely today know. And the problem is for us, you see, we pay our taxes and we grumble enough in doing that because we know what they're getting. But guys, at this day, it was even worse because they went to pay their taxes and rather the tax collector came to them. It would be as if the IRS would come and knock on your door. It's bad enough to have to send it to them. But to have them come chasing you down to set up the tax booths to catch you as you walk by and to get your taxes, you knew what the tax rate was. But see, here's why they were so hated. It was not only the tax rate they took, guess what else they did? They took over and above that tax rate for their own salary. And so you see, the tax collectors had great authority from Rome and by Rome to, in essence, say to you, you know what? Pay me your taxes, but you also have to pay me an extra 20%. Why? Well, just because I said so. I'm the tax collector, and you've got to pay an extra 20%. And sometimes, maybe even by false accusation, they might say, you know what? I think that your home's worth a lot more than you're saying it is. You've got it listed as worth X amount of dollars. Well, I believe it's worth a lot more than that. And therefore, on the tax rate, you're going to pay a higher tax. And so they would take the higher taxes. And guys, they padded their pockets. I mean, basically, these guys were getting rich. They had a license to take your money and to do with it if they wanted. Certainly, there were some limits. They couldn't get everything you had. But they could mark it up and make things up by false accusation. And they could take a lot more than they were supposed to take. This made them very hated. Now, also realize that they were also considered traitors by the nation of Israel. Why traitors? Well, because in order to be a tax collector, you had to work for Rome. And any good Orthodox Jew said anybody that worked for Rome was a traitor because God alone is our king. God alone is our master. God alone is our Lord. And therefore, for us to pay taxes and homage to someone else against the word of God. So you see, the type of man that Zacchaeus was, he not only was a man of greed, he not only was a man who took advantage of the people the best way that he could legally, to get rich. Guys, he also was considered a traitor by the nation. Now you begin to get a picture of who this Zacchaeus really was. Now understand also that this position was given to the highest bidder, this chief tax collector. Rome would let you bid it out. And he already apparently started out fairly wealthy, but we would say this in our terminology today was a wealthy businessman who was investing his money to make more in his business. And so he won the bid, became the chief tax collector, and in so doing would have had other tax collectors working under him. So picture it like this. It's almost like a business. Here's the boss. Here's all the guys that work off of commission, and everything goes back up to the chief tax collector. You see, the tax collectors would go out, get the tax money, bring it back, get to keep the extra for themselves, as well as give what? A certain percentage to the chief tax collector. Man, Zacchaeus was riding high. He had everything the world had to offer. The nicest home, the nicest camel, 3 camel garage. He had it all. You name it, Zacchaeus was the man. He had it all. He was loaded. He had everything he needed. And yet there was something going on in Zacchaeus' heart. And Zacchaeus was empty. And Zacchaeus was lonely. And Zacchaeus was unfulfilled. Ever been there? Maybe this morning, some of you are there right now. Maybe you have invested in the world. And maybe you've been very successful at it. Hey, there's nothing wrong in being a wise investor. There's nothing wrong in being smart with your money or whatever other resources that you've been given. The Bible says we need to be smart. As a matter of fact, Jesus rebuked the church for saying, you know what? The world's wiser with their money than you. Now, in context, he was talking about using it for the kingdom as an eternal investment. But at the same time, the Bible does teach that we are to be wise with our financial resources so that we can use them for the greatest benefit for the kingdom while we're down here. So I'm not saying that there's anything wrong in being a good businessman or being a wise investor. My point is this, if that is where your hope is, if that is where your focus is, you're going to find yourself just like Zacchaeus. In the world's eyes, on top of the world. But guys, in your heart, empty and at the lowest place you can be. That is exactly where Zacchaeus was. Zacchaeus, now knowing he's a traitor, now knowing he was going for the bucks, guys, he had made self and mammon his god. That's what he was seeking after. It was the almighty buck, as they say. Yet, interestingly, he was the poorest rich man in all Jericho. You see, he was very rich materially, but he was very poor spiritually. And guys, although Jesus does bless oftentimes in financial ways, his desire is that your spiritual portfolio be the thing that your greatest investment is in. And that's where you're going to find your greatest reward. You see, Zacchaeus was about to find this out, not yet to find it out, but at this moment, but about to find it out as Jesus passed through. You know, it's interesting. Zacchaeus' name means pure or righteous. Guys, it couldn't have been anything farther from the truth. Not only was he a wealthy businessman, he had done it by thievery. He had taken from the people wrongfully. He was a man who had willfully chosen to be a traitor to his country and, if you will, a traitor to his God. Let me go beyond that. Not only a traitor, it was so hated you weren't even allowed to go to church anymore. You weren't allowed in temple. You weren't allowed in synagogue as a tax collector. Imagine a job today in America right now, a job that you could get that would make you mega bucks. But in so doing, you would know that you're going to be illegally taking money, rather legally, but wrongfully taking money from people around you in your community. And secondly, you were going to be a traitor, considered a traitor to your country. And thirdly, you were rather to your people, maybe not to your country in that case, but to your people. And thirdly, guys, you were going to be banned and barred from church. Your life with God is over. You see, to make a decision to be a tax collector was to say, you know what? I'm going to choose the world and turn away from God. Not I might just have this job and I'll try to work God into it. No, Zacchaeus and all tax collectors had to make a choice. You see, that's what makes this all the more exciting about the Lord coming for him. Here was this man with the name Pure, and in reality, he was impure and he was unrighteous. As a matter of fact, as far as they were concerned, his name didn't mean pure or righteous. His name was Mud. And Zacchaeus, I think, realized that as well. You see, Zacchaeus had a name that he was righteous and pure, but everybody knew it was a lie. He was a miserable man. And guys, I think there's a lot of people, even in our churches today, that are the same way. There are many who attend church and have a name that they are righteous. They have a name that they are pure, but inside they're no different than Zacchaeus. They have traded God in for what they can get for themselves while down here. But here's the good news. Guys, Jesus loves those kind of people. You see, my tendency is to not love them. I guess I would shy away from the word hate, but it makes me very angry. For those who would take advantage of others, And those who would live only for themselves at the sake of others and for their own sake and even denying God, that has a tendency to kind of get my ire up, if you will. Guys, you know what it does for the Lord? It gets him moving. It gets him seeking, if you will, the lost. And that's what we're going to see as we get into this. Now, notice this again. It says Zacchaeus was there. He was the chief tax collector and he was rich. And notice this, verse 3, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. Now, notice this. He sought to see who Jesus was. This is where Zacchaeus comes to his very first and essential step to being saved and coming to know Jesus Christ, where all of us have had to come to at some time or another. And maybe you are there this morning. Hopefully you are if you don't know the Lord. And that is this, realizing there's a need. See, guys, for the longest time, I didn't think I needed the Lord. I was doing good. I was young. I was strong. I was, you know, whatever. The world was before me. Why did I need the Lord? What benefit could he be to me? I mean, to me, the Lord was somebody that you would run to if you were weak or you didn't have strength. And besides, I was religious, so I thought that was enough. No, guys, you see, we have to come to the place where we see our need. And Zacchaeus now is recognizing, I've got a problem. I've got everything the world says that should make me happy. And guess what? I'm not happy. I have a need. And so he comes to that first place, that seeking of the Lord, because he realizes that he has a need. And you know, due to our affluent society, guys, we oftentimes don't realize that we have a need, do we? I mean, think about it. What do you guys need today? I mean, maybe some of you right now are saying, well, I'm a little bit short on rent, or maybe you overextended on the credit card. And you're thinking, well, I've got to come up with this, so I'm in need. Well, no, wait a minute. Guys, the fact that we even have credit cards show that our need is not that great. It's not really need that the credit card gets us in trouble with. It's simply wanting maybe sometimes more than we really need at the time. It's more of wants that we tend to get in trouble with the credit card. But guys, in this room, the needs aren't really there. It's not something where we go out and find out that we have some kind of need because we don't have food or we don't have a place to live. No, we need to come to a place in our heart. And God often has to reach us, I believe, the same way he reached Zacchaeus. And that is, he's got to, once we have everything the world has to offer, he has to say, you know what, are you happy? Guys, I want to ask you this morning, are you satisfied right now? In your heart. Now, I don't mean dissatisfaction because you saw those commercials and they've got one and you don't. I'm not talking about that kind of satisfaction. I'm saying, are you content in your heart to realize, you know what? My life is fulfilled. I may not have everything I want, but my life is fulfilled. Guys, Zacchaeus was in a place where he realized, I have everything I want, and I have everything that probably everybody in Jericho wants, but I'm miserable. Guys, this is the type that I'm speaking to today. If you are miserable and have everything the world has to offer, Jesus can fill that need. Now, the next few verses reveal how unhappy he really was, and hence the fact that he was seeking something more. You see, contrary to popular belief, money doesn't make you happy. Things don't make you happy. Listen to the stars. Listen to the wealthy. Guys, they'll tell they're not really happy. Yes, they can buy all these things, but they're not satisfied. Now, I know some of us think, well, you know, try me a while. Let me give it a shot, you know. But guys, it doesn't satisfy. It always runs empty. It always runs out. And it's because there's a void in the heart. God has done it. Understand, when God created man and man fell from God, what happened when the Spirit of God was removed from man, which happened when Adam sinned, God's Spirit was removed. God, I believe Adam was like we are today in the sense that he would be what we call a born-again Christian. God's Spirit living inside of him. Remember, it says when God created Adam, he breathed into Adam. And he breathed his Spirit into Adam. Adam was alive. You see, guys, what happened when Adam and Eve sinned was that God's Spirit was removed. And now they knew they were naked, if you will. That is, naked spiritually. They realized that now God's Spirit, something that had filled that void, was gone. And now they were vulnerable. Now they were empty. Now they were naked before the Lord. And guys, maybe there's some of you this morning that are in that exact same place. There's a void there. And you've tried to fill it. You've tried the typical drugs, alcohol. You've tried, maybe for men, you might have tried women. For women, it might be you've tried just buying everything you can that you think would make you happy for your home or whatever it might be. Whatever you think is going to fill that void, you know what? It's still not filled. Why? Because there's only one way to fill it, guys. It's by the Spirit of God. It's him moving back inside and making his home with you. You see, that is exactly what Jesus wants to do in our hearts. And that is what Jesus wanted to do and does do with Zacchaeus before we get out of this passage. Now, it's interesting. Zacchaeus came to a place where he knew there had to be more. Guys, you ever been there? Those of you in this room that now know the Lord, you've been there. That's what led you to the Lord. You're like, is this all there is? I remember coming to a place saying, okay. So I've tried most of what the world has to offer, you know, and it's like I'm still empty. There's got to be more than this. And to be honest with you, before I knew that you could really know Jesus Christ and that he was really your friend and really you could come to, you know him on a personal level, I was rather depressed about that. Because I thought, where do you go? What are you going to get? I mean, it just doesn't make you happy. And this Zacchaeus had now found that out, guys, and it's a place that God has brought many of us, and maybe some of you are in that place today. Now, it's interesting here to note this, but notice Zacchaeus couldn't see who Jesus was. Why couldn't he really see who Jesus was? Note this. Number one, because of the crowd. It says that Zacchaeus could not see Jesus because of the crowd. Guys, listen, there are many today that can't see Jesus for that exact same reason. Why? Because of the crowd. Talk to the crowd about who Jesus is. Ask them. Remember, Jesus asked his disciples, he said, who do the people say I am? Because he wanted them to know who he really was, not who everybody else said he was. Guys, the crowd will tell you any and everything. He was a great prophet. He was a spiritual leader of a great religion or whatever. No, Jesus Christ was God in human form that came down to the earth to die for our sins. He rose from the dead, and for everyone who will receive him, he will fill that void in the heart and give you eternal life and joy. Amen. He will fill that place that only the Lord can fill. Amen. And see, guys, that was his problem, the crowd. The crowd was in the way. Listen, you can't listen to the crowd. Number two, secondly, notice this. Guys, it was because of his view. Now, I know he was short. I know he couldn't see over the crowd. But guys, you know what? There's a real principle here. You see, Zacchaeus' view up to this point was the view of the world. Zacchaeus had his eyes on the things of the world. Man, if I can only get that, if I can only live in that kind of house, if I can only do this, if I can only... Zacchaeus had his mind completely consumed by what he could get. And so his view was obscured. The crowd obscured him. And notice here the next thing. Look at verse 4. After he couldn't see because of the crowd, he says, so he ran ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. I love this. The next thing, this older man, this dignified man, this great businessman, Zacchaeus, with all these under workers under him and all the other tax collector, this chief tax collector, this wealthy man, what does he do? He runs and climbs a tree like a kid. Don't you love it? And guys, it makes me think, what did Jesus say? If you want to inherit the kingdom of God, you have to come as what? As a child. He's acting a lot more like a child at this point than a grown man. Running and climbing trees. No, it doesn't mean childless, and it doesn't mean that we're to run and climb trees whenever we're serious about the Lord. You know, well, maybe it's not happening yet because I don't have that urge. No, that's not what it's saying. As the point that he's making is this. Listen, Zacchaeus was he would do anything that was necessary to get to the Lord. Zacchaeus, all he knew was is that he was empty and that he was desperate. And he looked around as he couldn't get through the crowd. I picture him kind of looking, trying to get around and looking around going, man, how can I see this guy? And he looks down the road and the way they're going, there's a tree. He runs down, climbs up in the tree and waits on him. I love it. This heart, this excitement of him acting, if you will, almost childlike, inheriting the kingdom of God as a child. What is that? Trusting, believing, and obeying as a child would. He's now getting the right heart and the right attitude. Now, interesting, I looked up this type of sycamore tree. It's technically known as a fig mulberry. It's a very interesting tree. It had very low branches and very open branches, since it was easy to climb. You've seen trees like that. Not a lot of sticks in between, just really open branches and low, easy to climb up in there, which means Zacchaeus would have no trouble getting up in there. It bore a very poor fruit, edible, but not really desirable. It was found only in the low country where warm climate is, since it was easily killed by frost and by cold, which would make it a perfect place down there in Jericho. And interestingly enough, it was used to make furniture, most notably the mummy cases in Egypt. Guys, what's my point in all this? Well, notice the adjectives used to describe this tree. I think it's very appropriate to the tree that Zacchaeus found himself in. It was low, poor, open, and used to bury the dead. Guys, Zacchaeus was in the perfect place now to be seen by the Lord. That is not physically, but really more importantly, spiritually. He was in the perfect place, now lowering himself, that humble position, poor in spirit, as the Lord said you need to be. And guys, now for the first time in a place where he could actually die to himself. He's in the perfect tree. But now we're going to see the perfect situation here, because you know what is more exciting to me about Zacchaeus, but not that he was in the perfect place to see Jesus, but guys, note this, that Zacchaeus was in the perfect place for Jesus to see him. You see, you remember I said at the very beginning that this was a story about a man who was seeking. I tricked you. Zacchaeus is not the one seeking. Zacchaeus was empty, and Zacchaeus was inquiring. The man who was seeking was the man Christ Jesus, the God-man, who came to seek out the lost and to save the lost. See, when we read this story, guys, we tend to think, wow, Zacchaeus, he was a real seeker. We talk about seekers, guys that are seeking. But guys, understand this. The Bible says that none of us, note this, none of us on our own will seek the Lord. Mark, what do you mean? Let me explain. The Bible says that God has to move us by his Holy Spirit. Jesus said, no one goes to the Father unless they are drawn to the Father. No one comes to me unless they're drawn to me by the Father. And so you see, what happens is the Holy Spirit's job is to bring you to church or to find you out in the streets or to get you in your car or wherever you can hear the message and then begin to draw you in. And then you start thinking, you know what? I know I need something. And yes, there is a level of seeking on our part. But guys, truly, it's the hound of heaven seeking you. Amen. And it looks to me that Jesus just treated him one. Guys, it was initiated by the Lord. It wasn't initiated by Zacchaeus. Notice what happens. I love this. And when Jesus came to the place, I have that circled in my Bible. He looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Notice this. When Jesus came to the place, what place? The place where Zacchaeus could finally see and was now ready to receive. Guys, the Lord will bring each one of us at some point in our life to that place. And maybe that's you today. You see, for years, people told me about Jesus Christ, but I just couldn't see it. I was obscured by the crowd. I heard about him, but I couldn't really get close enough to see what he was like. And guys, I was too short in stature, too short-sighted, if you will, to let my eyes go heavenward. My eyes were on the things of the world. I wanted the wealth. I wanted the fame. I wanted the things that probably most of us, if we admitted the truth, at some point as a child growing up, want. How many of us as kids stand before the TV watching the football game and thinking, one day, that's me, you know? Guys, that's part of us. We have this something in us that desires that. And see, Zacchaeus' view was obscured until this place, but now the Lord had him in a place where finally he could see, and the Lord will get us to a specific time, a specific place where we can finally see Jesus, and we were ready to receive. When the Lord got me in that place, he looked at me and said, Mark, come down. Today I will be with you in your home. Guys, maybe that's where you are today. You're in that specific place. The Lord is seeking you. He has now found you. He has your attention. You're in the place where you can now receive, and the Lord has now got his eyes fixed on you. Now you're ready. Where was the place for Zacchaeus? I love this. All alone and up a tree. Guys, that's exactly where I was when the Lord finally got my attention. All alone, destitute, nobody around, and up a tree in a bad way. Now, it doesn't always take that. I think for certain people, it takes a little bit more than others. For Zacchaeus, that's what it took. But guys, again, if you feel all alone and up a tree today, you're in the perfect place for the Lord to move. Amen. And I want to say this not only for those who don't know the Lord, I want to say this for the believer who may have fallen away. Amen. Maybe you haven't been walking with the Lord the way you used to walk with him. Maybe things just aren't the same anymore. And all of a sudden you find yourself all alone and up a tree. Listen, all you have to do is look back toward the Lord because he's certainly looking toward you. Amen. And then you can be restored. So that's exactly what the Lord is doing here. It's interesting. I love this. And guys, note this. Jesus knew his name. Now, Jesus looked up and said, Zacchaeus. Guys, it's very obvious from this passage they had never met. Do you find that interesting? They had never met, yet Jesus knew his name. What is my point, guys? Jesus knows all the names of those he's seeking. The Bible says he knows his sheep and he calls them by name. Now, let me say this. Obviously, if you've given your life to the Lord, you're now a sheep and you're a part of the flock. You're a part of the fold. But guys, if you don't know Jesus Christ yet, maybe you don't know the Lord and you haven't given your life to the Lord yet, listen, you may just be a sheep to be. The Lord still knows your name. Guys, God began working in my life a long time before I came to the place where I could actually see him. And maybe this morning, the same thing is happening with you. The Lord knows your name. If you're lost, if you're in any kind of position where you feel up a tree and all alone, guys, the Lord not only sees you, he knows your name. You're not just a number. He's very intimate. And so it applies not only to the unbeliever, but also to the believer. And again, Zacchaeus thought he was seeking Jesus, but it was really the Lord seeking Zacchaeus. Notice what happens here now. Verse 6. I love it. At the end of verse 5, he says, I have to stay at your house. How exciting that must have been to Zacchaeus. And so he made haste and he came down and he received him joyfully. Notice what happens to those who finally see Jesus. Guys, the emptiness, the darkness, the seeking is suddenly gone and now there's joy in the heart. Do you lack joy today? And again, I want to apply it in both places. If you've not given your life to the Lord, then that's the reason you lack the joy. But maybe as a believer, you've given your life to the Lord and you still lack joy. Guys, you've gotten your eyes off Jesus. It's seeing Jesus that brings that joy. And really more so, it's asking him into your heart, bringing him, if you will, into your home. The Lord, I love this, didn't wait for an invitation. He invited himself. But notice this in verse 7. But when they saw it, who's they? All the Jews around. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying, he's gone to be the guest with a man who's a sinner. Now remember, these self-righteous Jews believe you were defiled. if you were with a sinner. If you went anywhere near one, especially if you ate with one, because if you ate the same food they did, you were becoming one with them in some type of mystical way. The same piece of bread they ate, you were now eating from. You were becoming one with the sinner. Guys, this was an abomination to them. Jesus didn't care. I love it. It's interesting. Zacchaeus had come down, but they hadn't. Notice in verse 8, then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Man, this is a guy that's excited. He's finally seen the Lord. He's like, you know what? This is it, man. I'm ready. I don't care what the world has to offer. I'm not after the bucks. I'm not after the excitement. I'm after Jesus Christ. This is exciting. And notice Zacchaeus admitting and confessing that he had sinned. Guys, this is the next step to salvation. This is the next step to coming to the Lord. First, realizing you have a need. I'm in trouble. I'm up a tree. I need somebody to help me. The second thing is what? Admitting and confessing that you're up a tree. Guys, that's the hard one sometimes, but that comes, with that comes humility. Lord, I need you. I realize that I need you, and I realize that I've been in sin. What I've been doing is wrong. This is not right. And Lord, I want to be right with you. I need you to move in my heart. I need you to move in my life. So the next step, admitting the fact that we need to be saved, the fact that we are sinners. God requires this. He requires this. Why? Humility. But guys, notice the next step, and really just as important, if maybe not more important, that is repentance. Notice what he says. I give half my goods to the poor, and if I've wronged anybody, I give back fourfold. Guys, he's not saying that he had to give everything away. The Lord didn't require that of him. But Zacchaeus realized that he had taken wrongfully from the poor as well as others. And he says, you know what? I'm not only going to give back half my goods to the poor. If I've wronged anybody in the way I've taken it, those people, I'm going to give back four times. Guys, that was way more than even the Bible required. For what Zacchaeus did, it was typically pay him back plus 20%. Zacchaeus says, no, I'm giving back fourfold. This was true repentance. Now, what's my point here? Guys, listen, it's one thing to realize the need. It's another thing to confess that we're sinners and to ask the Lord into our heart. But if we do not repent, we do not seal the deal. Guys, what is repentance? Here's repentance. I think sometimes there's a misunderstanding. We think repentance is this, Lord, forgive me. That's not repentance. Did you know that's not repentance? Did you know that if we said, okay, this morning, those of you that want to repent, I want you to come down here and stand. And I say, everybody came down here and stood. Did you know that that is not repentance? Guys, what is repentance? Here's biblical repentance. Stop doing what is wrong. Amen. Now, it sounds basic, doesn't it? But I've talked to people before that say, well, you know what? I've asked the Lord in my heart, you know, and I've said the prayer and all, but I'm still miserable and I feel like I don't know him. Well, tell me about your life. Well, let's see. I live with my girlfriend. I'm still hanging out with my buddies and, you know, getting drunk every so often. Whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a minute, you got a problem here. You've realized you have a need. Yeah, oh yeah, I know that. I'm a sinner. And secondly, you've confessed it. Oh yeah, I confessed it. Oh, I know I'm wrong. God, forgive me. You're missing step number three, which seals the deal. Without this step, salvation cannot be obtained. What is that step? You've got to repent. You've got to move out from your girlfriend. You've got to stop getting drunk with your buddies. You've got to turn away from what you know is wrong because that is standing in between you and heaven. Amen. Guys, there's so many people I think that don't understand that. It's not just saying a prayer. It's not even walking forward. I wonder how many at crusades come forward and then just walk away back into the same life they were in and will not be in the kingdom of God. Amen. Can you imagine standing before the Lord on that day? But Lord, it was Billy Graham. I went right down front. Yes, but you didn't repent. What do you mean? You kept on living in the same sin you were in before you said the prayer. John the Baptist said this. Remember when the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they came down to check him out. They were going to pretend that they were doing the righteous thing. They came down to the river. They wanted to be baptized. And guys, I went through that. As a kid, I went through confirmation. I was baptized. I said the prayer. I was unsaved. How about you? I don't believe people in the South that tell me, yes, I know the Lord. Really? When did you give your life to the Lord? Well, I've kind of always known him. That's a warning to me.
Amen. Amen.
That's a warning to me. Somebody tells me I've always known him. I'm like, no, whoa, 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 wait a minute. You may have come to him at an early age, but there needs to be a point where you realize you have met him. And if you don't have that point, we may need to pray.
Amen.
Because guys, the bottom line is that I thought that I knew the Lord, but I didn't know the Lord, and I kept on living the same way I did. One of the evidences of a true believer is you turn away and you repent. Yes, can you be saved and backslide? I believe that, but it's limited and you're convicted like crazy. But for a person who can continue living on the way they've always lived before Jesus Christ, guys, the deal has not been sealed. The contract is ready, but it's not been signed. What did John the Baptist say to him? He said, listen, you come down here in all your robes. You want to do the religious thing. You're showing everybody that you're praying. You're coming forward. John had people coming forward. This was John's crusade in the wilderness, the wilderness crusade. You're starring John the Baptist, you know. Today, come forward, you know, you too can... you know, wear camel's hair and eat locusts. Come down front, you know, whatever it might be, you know. And of course, I'm being facetious, but the point is that these guys, when they came up, you know what John said? Don't come down here. This is kind of the reverse altar call. I love it. Anybody that's coming up here, go back and sit down if you don't mean it. Don't come stand up here. Go back. It's like sending people from the altar back to their seats. That was the kind of man John the Baptist was, because he said, you know what? I don't want you lining this and making some big religious show. I want to see repentance. Here's what John the Baptist said. He said, you show me fruit, then we'll talk. Amen. Guys, anybody can talk, but fruit means a changed life. That is, what is your life producing? John was not one to put up with it. And you know what? The Lord was very straightforward as well. The Lord said, you've got to repent. But see, there's the good news about Zacchaeus. What did Zacchaeus say? Zacchaeus repented. He was showing an action. He's like, look, Lord, look, I'm giving half my goods. And if I've done anything wrong, fourfold. Guys, can we say this morning, Lord, look, look at my life. Look, I'm really repenting. You see, Zacchaeus was saying he was repenting, but he was backing it up in action. Lord, look, I'm moving out. I'm sorry. I know I don't have any place to go, but I'll trust the Lord. I'll ask the church if I can sleep next door on the floor till I find a place. And I have enough money. I'll do that. Or, Lord, you know what? I'm not going to go with these guys, but I'll lose all my friends. The guys that go out and drink, they're my only buddies. You know what? I guess I'll have to get new buddies. Jesus said nobody has left family or friend or land or home that God doesn't give hundredfold in this life and more to come. Guys, I'm a living testimony to that. Amen. So don't be afraid of what the enemy tells you, that you're suddenly going to now be all alone. No, now you're going to be in the family. That's the whole point, see? But Zacchaeus said, I'm not only going to say it, I'm going to prove it. I'm going to show you by action that I'm repenting. And he said, look, Lord, honestly, guys, can we challenge our heart? Can we say, Lord, look at me. I'm really repenting. I'm really doing it. See, that's what Jesus was watching for, and that's what he bragged on that he was doing here. I guess I say bragged on, boasting about it, but in a good way. Lord, look, I'm really going to. I don't think he was saying it to do a show for the Lord. It was, Lord, look at me. I'm going to do this. It was, Lord, this is from my heart. I'm giving this back. I don't want this. Look at verse 9. He says, and Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. Why? Because he also is a son of Abraham. No, not because he's a Jew. Guys, remember, scripturally and spiritually, a son of Abraham is somebody who receives Christ. Romans tells us that you are a son of Abraham if you receive the Lord. As a matter of fact, there are many sons of Abraham, i.e. the Jews, that the Bible says will not enter the kingdom of God because they're only physical children of Abraham. Jesus said, many will come from the east and west and sit down in the kingdom of God, but you, the Jews, will be on the outside. Many of you, not all of you, but many of you. Why? Because you're sons of Abraham in flesh, but you're not sons of Abraham in spirit. Guys, to become a son of Abraham in spirit, you have to do what Zacchaeus did. You have to realize the need. You have to confess the sin. You have to repent of your sin in action. And now guess what? Salvation has come to your home because you are now a son of Abraham. I love it. Jesus says this, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Again, there was a man seeking, but guys, it wasn't Zacchaeus. It was the Lord. And this morning, the Lord is seeking some of you in here. Maybe as unbelievers, he's seeking you for the first time. You've never given your life to the Lord. But guys, maybe as believers, you realize, you know what? I've fallen away. I'm not really where I need to be. And the Lord is now seeking you. He's got you treed. You're looking at him. He's looking at you. There's nowhere to go. It's time to deal with it. The question is, will you deal with it? And again, I speak first to the believers. Guys, where are you today? Where are you? Is the Lord looking up and seeing you treed and saying, man, how did you get in that mess? What happened? You know what? He's not there to beat you up. He's there to invite you back down and say, you know what? It's time to walk with me again. It's time to get close with me again. It's time now just to quit this avenue you've been on. You know, you've been out on a limb too long. It's time to come back. But guys, what about the unbeliever here today? Again, you're the one saying, you know what? I can't believe this. I came to visit today. You've just described my life. I've got everything the world has to offer, but I am the emptiest person alive. I feel all alone and up a tree. Guys, it's very simple. All you need to do is realize that you have a need. And maybe you're already at that place. I know it. I realize I have a need. Now you've got to confess it. And I want to give you, in just a second, I want to pray with you and give you a chance to do that. But guys, listen, it's going to be more than just a prayer. It's going to be, you know what? I'm going to take action. Lord, look. I want you to leave this place today, and you need to be able to say this. Lord, look. Look, Lord. I'm really doing this. Really. I'm really going to take action. I'm not just going to go up and say a prayer. I'm not going to pretend. I'm going to take action, and I'm going to see, you're going to see, Lord, that my life is changed and that my heart is real and that I mean this. And guys, that's exactly what the Lord wants from us today. And so why don't we pray and ask him to do it? Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you did send Jesus to seek and save that which was lost. Lord, you came looking for us, and I thank you, God, for coming to look for us. Lord, I just pray this morning as you're walking through this place, Lord, there may be some in here that have been treed. And Lord, you've come to the place, that place where they can finally see you, Lord. Their eyes have been opened. The crowd has been blinding them, Lord, but now the crowd is out of the way. Lord, their eyes have been on the things of the world, but now you have gently turned their eyes toward heaven. And now you're saying to them, come down and follow me, for today I must be with you in your house. And Lord, you will be at home with them in the house of their heart. And so, Lord, I pray, God, this morning, if there are any here that don't know you, that, Lord, that they would do just that, that they would realize the need and they would confess their sin. And, Lord, they would repent of their sin. And I want any of you in here this morning, just if you say, that's me, that's where I am, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Because this is simply acknowledging that you do have a need. And that is this: Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I confess it before your throne. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins, to come into my heart and to be my Lord and to be my Savior. Lord, I am up a tree, but I want to be with you and I want your home to be in my heart. And if there's any here this morning, maybe of the believers, and you're saying, you know what, I've not been where I need to be with the Lord, then I want you to pray this prayer with me as well. Lord, I too am up a tree, but in a different way. I find myself all alone and in a tough spot because I've not been following like I should have been. Lord, it's time to come down and get my feet on solid ground and to walk with you again. Lord, forgive me. And once again, Lord, make your home my heart as I commit all to you. And we love you, Lord. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.